your magic, like me.
I need you to listen to me. The world's a hungry place, a dark place.
Hi there.
I only met two or three people like us. They died. When I was a kid, I bumped into these things. I don't know about magic. I always called it the Shining.
You're listening to Geek Media Corps, your weekly podcast for all things geek pop culture. What's up, geeks? I am Mike, and this is issue number 122 of the Geek Media Corps podcast, where today we are talking another shakeup at Warner Brothers, the search for the next Game of Thrones, and why does Disney hate Mulan? Joining me, as always, is the man who has no interest in doing a Fast and Furious podcast because he'd rather make good podcasts. What's up, Dan?
I've still never seen any Fast and Furious movie.
It's got The Rock, man. You should.
I mean, I might see the Sean Hobbs one. The trailer actually does look pretty fun.
Well, it's got two of my favorite actors in it, so I mean, it's and you know what? You look at Rock movies, you look at Jason Statham movies, they ain't gonna win any awards, but am I gonna have a good time? Is there gonna be a lot of punching? Yeah, I'm all about that. So, we haven't had an episode in a couple of weeks because, there hasn't been a lot to talk about. Let's talk about Toy Story made a lot of money. Hey, Spider-Man's going to make a lot of money. You know, summer blockbuster time, this is kind of what goes down. I don't know if you went and saw Avengers for like the sixth time or something like that because they're just trying to catch Avatar, and apparently they're still not going to do it. So, that's about all the news there has been to talk about. But we got some stuff compiled over the last few weeks we're going to talk about. But as tradition dictates, before we get going, did you watch, read, listen to, or play anything over the break worth mentioning?
Aside from the World Cup, because I've got to support my U.S. women, and I had to get that in there. Nothing binging, but the nice thing about summer schedules is that TV watching has kind of shifted, and we have two really good series on the CW right now. Everyone knows my love of The 100. The fact that it's on its sixth season blows my mind. Completely blown. I did not think this show would go six seasons. The fact that I think they're guaranteed a seventh season as well. Unbelievable. The sixth season's really good. Eliza Taylor, who plays Clark Griffin, is acting her ass off this season. Just, she is 100% the focal point of this show this season, and she is just killing it, crushing it. I cannot say enough.
I'm about a full season behind, so I'm not going to ask if Blank character is still alive because I don't want to know. So
no, I mean, if you're a full season behind, you've got
some surprises. Yeah, I think I got to where like the leeches were getting under people's skin or something. That's about where I stopped. And Octavia's okay. All going crazy. I don't know. Octavia's crazy. Okay.
You know, the 100 is kind of, it's had its super highs, some lows, but this season's as a high. I'm really impressed with what they've done this season, how they continue to write themselves out of corners that they trap themselves in. And then the other one, iZombie, its final season this summer. Fantastic show. Cannot say it enough. If you liked Veronica Mars, this is a show for you because it's Veronica Mars with zombies. Probably one of the best written shows I've seen in a while, just as far as how they bring everything together. And again, the lead actress, Rose McIver, is one of the most criminally underrated actresses on TV.
Danny dropped out. Anyway, I guess I'll tell you guys, I started playing this game called Bloodstained Ritual of the Night. It was a Kickstarter game that by the guy who made Castlevania Symphony of the Night. Hey, I'm just kind of like stepping over you now. One of my favorite games of all time is Castlevania Symphony of the Night. It's a PlayStation 1 game, came out in the late 90s. And this, the creator, basically, because Konami completely just like quit making video games, apparently. I don't know what their deal is. But this guy went out on his own and basically made the unofficial sequel to that game because it's a lot like it, just updated and stuff. And it's a really cool game. I like it. It's the first thing I've ever donated to a Kickstarter for. So I'm happy with it, and I had a good time with it. I already finished it. I didn't 100% it yet, though. So, you know, I got 100% it because that's how you get the real ending. But what were you saying about iZombie? Did it have its last episode yet?
No, it hasn't had it yet, but a fantastic episode. But now that you mentioned Konami, now I have to say rest in peace, Konami, because, man, for one time they were on top of the world.
Yeah, they had Castlevania, Metal Gear, I mean, all kinds of stuff. But, yeah, I mean, that's just the way it goes in the game business. Apparently they want to make, like, Mahjong or some shit now, or Plinko. I don't really know what. So, all right, so we got some kind of news here. I'm going to start off with the big one. There is another shakeup at Warner Brothers, and it seems like this has just been going on a lot. But, you know, they had that merger with AT&T and all that stuff, so we knew that there was going to be some stuff going on. Kevin Tsujihara or whatever got into, like, another guy who got in trouble for a sex scandal or something like that. So I think that they're doing something that's well past due, and I know you're going to agree. Ann Sarnoff, the first female CEO in the history of the studio, I think that was the only way they could go at this point after all that bad publicity they've been getting. So, if it leads into a new direction and this lady says, you know what, we're going to realize what we've got in these DC properties and we're going to actually make good quality movies. So that's my hope. What's yours, Danny?
I mean, she's got a great background. I mean, all the elite East Coast schools. She was president of BBC America. So she's definitely not just some random person picked at whim. The fact that she is in charge now and wants to focus on DC, great, because DC should be printing money for Warner Brothers. The fact that it's not is a massive, massive problem.
Yeah, it's a business failure. I mean, it's awful. It's awful use of company assets.
Yeah. I mean, you look at we just made the joke, Disney's making billions per movie. DC should do the same thing for Warner Brothers. There is no excuse other than having people that just don't understand the characters and properties.
Yeah, you got Batman and Superman, two of the three most popular superheroes of all time. Yeah, you got to do is make above average movies to have big hits. So this isn't going to be a bash on WB show, or I'm sorry, a bash on DC show. Obviously, we're big DC fans. We're just disgruntled. But another reason I'm disgruntled, because how many directors and how many false starts have we had for this Flash movie? Now we got another one. Apparently, Andres Muschietti, who is from doing Stephen King's It, apparently he's the one that it isn't final yet, but they're saying it's in the final stages, that he is going to direct the Flash movie and Ezra Miller is going to remain Barry Allen. And I'm surprised at all of this news, because I thought that was done. I thought he was out. And I would have never picked a guy who has been a big time horror director for, you know, going on his third movie now to do The Flash. I thought they'd get someone, I don't know, Taika Waititi type to do The Flash and just make it absolutely bananas. But I would never pick James Wan to do Aquaman. So who knows?
Let me see if I can remember this right. Originally, it was supposed to be Phil Lord and Chris Miller. Mm-hmm. They didn't do it, thankfully, because if they had done this, they wouldn't get to do Spider-Man into the Spider-Verse, which is the best movie I've ever seen. Then they got, what was his name? Seth Graham Smith to do it.
Yeah. Who had never directed a movie before. Yeah.
Yeah. And then he dropped out, due to creative differences. And then Greg Berlanti, who they passed over long ago and let him do his Arrowverse. Now he is supposed to save the day. And then he dropped out.
I can't remember the director that they had, the guy that made that movie Dope. That
Rick
guy.
Femuia.
Yeah. It's like, I don't understand what it is. If it's just this,
to four
property or what the deal is, or if they just, I think it's another case where they just don't understand what they have. They really, they think, oh, who, nobody knows what this Flash character is. Did anybody know who Iron Man was besides us diehards? Dude, it doesn't matter. You've got great characters. Get someone in charge that knows how to use them. So hopefully.
So we're at four. Then they had Robert Zemeckis. Nope, that's five. They were trying to get Matthew Vaughn or Sam Raimi, who both said, nah, no, thank you. Then they went back to Lord Miller, who said no. And then here we are. It was originally John Francis Daly and Jonathan Goldstein. Now they're gone. So now here we are at our eighth director, Andres Muschietti, who probably will be replaced by the time this podcast is released.
Someone, I forget who it is. It's a big time guy in the business, but he tweeted something saying, and he thinks what this is the studio is just over the moon happy with It Chapter 2, and they just want to keep this in the family. That's why they tapped Muschietti to do this. And that way, and apparently they love Ezra Miller too. You know, he's in the Fantastic Beasts. He's regardless of how you feel that's going, he's still the Flash, obviously. You know, and now
I thought he was out
of what
the Flash.
No, all the reports today is it's still Ezra Miller and it's going to be Andres Muschietti. So Lucchetti. Okay. I'm probably saying, I'm probably butchering his name.
We're butchering that, yeah.
It's the dude from It there.
The director of It Chapter 2 coming to theaters.
Look, soon. I've heard over and over again, hey, they're doing this. And we have both said we've got a very positive outlook on what they're doing with the DCEU right now. But I don't know. I'm at believe it when I see it levels with that right now, because I had a good time with Shazam, but you know what though, after I saw it once, I really had no desire to see it again, kind of thing. I mean, I enjoyed it. I thought it was a really, really well done movie, but same with Aquaman. I enjoyed it, but I'm probably not going to ever watch it again. So I don't know. Looking forward to Joker, I guess. Hey, it's going to be rated R, by the way. Joker's going to be rated R.
Oh, that's not a surprise. That's what they were aiming for. It's supposed to be dark and gritty. So
you want
to
see Joker early? Put on Taxi Driver with Robert De Niro. Same thing. Mark my words. And I'm okay with it. Let's move on to that other studio movie that they're making. Matt Reeves' Batman has been picking up tons and tons of steam lately. Apparently, they're right there about ready to start shooting or whatever. And now the big rumor is that Vanessa Kirby is rumored to be Catwoman. If you don't know who she is, she's the lead on Netflix's The Crown. She was also in Mission Impossible. What was it called?
Fallout?
Yeah.
What are the best movies released in 2018?
Agreed. And she was good in it. She's absolutely beautiful. That's my number one requirement for Selena Kyle. Absolutely beautiful. And the fact that she can act, that's only a bonus. So if I can't have Eva Green as Selena Kyle, I'd be great with this pick. I think she's a terrific actress. Even though I didn't really like The Crown, just because it isn't my style of thing, I'm not obsessed with the British monarchy. But she was really wonderful in it from what I watched. So, yeah, cool, awesome.
Now I'm disappointed because you said Eva Green as Catwoman, and I'm just like, man, that would have been a perfect mask cast.
I said perfect. This when you did the Geeks Against the Grain podcast, was that I feel like Selena Kyle, you have to have someone who is equally bit crazy looking and sexy. And I think that's Eva Green wrapped up in, I mean, that's Vesper, man. I mean, she's absolutely just a knockout, but she's also got a little bit of that. She could go crazy on you and real quick. You know, she's got them crazy eyes a little bit. So, I'm up for Eva Green in anything, man.
Yeah, I mean, Vanessa Kirby's a fine actress. I had seen someone tweet out a picture, and I believe she's becoming the female Idris Elba, Tessa Thompson for Catwoman. The only thing I will say about this photo is that they did it in the classic 1960s.
Yeah, no, it looked good. I thought it was that picture.
She looks like Eartha Kitt in that costume, like unbelievable. And I love Eartha Kitt, and I love that costume. And you know, if they ever wanted to do a 1960s revival, go to Tessa Thompson, but I think she might be not the right age to play off of, what's his name? The sparkly vampire.
Yeah, I know who you mean. Robert Pattinson, yeah.
Robert Pattinson, yeah. I don't know that they're the right age or the right fit.
Right, and that's why I back up my Kate Beckinsale for a Catwoman thing. Because to me, Kate Beckinsale, I know she's probably a little older now. She still is a knockout, don't get me wrong. But to me, She looks like she could do Julie Newmar from the 60s Batman series. And that's how I will always picture Catwoman. I know everybody is in love with that Arkham style and the Hush style, but you know, with the goggles and the tight cap and stuff now, but Julie Newmar is what I grew up. That was probably my first celebrity crush ever, was Julie Newmar as Catwoman. So I think Kate Beckinsale would be awesome, but she's probably, a little out of Robert Pattinson. But who knows? She's dating that weirdo from SNL, and he's probably not much older than Robert Pattinson.
Pete Davidson. Yeah.
She had to lose a bet. That's all I'm saying about that. She had to lose a bet.
Yeah, no, Pattinson is 33. And I think the bigger thing is looking at some of these photos for Pattinson. It is, you got to remember, he very much is a model, and he definitely does have that billionaire pretty boy town to him. And I think as I look at the photos of Pattinson and I look at the photos of Vanessa Kirby, they fit together. Like it looks like you could see them at a Wayne Enterprises gala, and they could be that cat and mouse kind of chase. Do they love each other?
That's good. The cat and the ball. Nice. Hey, I'm for it. And you know what? I'm going to make a prediction. We're going to see the first like sizzle reel footage of Pattinson as Bruce Wayne. Everyone's going to love it. That's what's going to happen. I mean, that's what happened with Affleck. Everybody didn't want Affleck, and they saw that first teaser of him for Batman v Superman, and everyone was like, oh, that's awesome. So, I mean, guys, we'll talk about it in a little bit with The Witcher. I'm like, that show's going to be a train wreck. I see one picture of Henry Cavill as The Witcher, and I'm on board. So, I mean, all it takes is the right kind of publicity, and people get excited for this stuff. So,
I'm going to say it's a shame that, you know, DC's not doing San Diego Comic-Con, because even just releasing a photo of Robert Pattinson in the costume would do wonders.
Maybe he'll show up with the cowl on. That was my prediction, is that they were going to wait until Comic-Con to announce it and have him come out with a cowl on. But I was like, no, that was too much of a possibility for a negative reaction. Take off the cowl, and people are like, are you kidding me? You know what else? I said, are you kidding me too? Men in Black International. Apparently, it didn't even make its money back, Danny. So Men in Black International flops, much to no one's surprise. Even though I know Danny was a little interested because he likes those actors. I get it. I mean, that's Thor Ragnarok. Of course, I like that. But should they just fold this franchise? I think Will Smith and Tommy Lee Jones kind of made that franchise what it is, and anything else is just going to seem like great value version.
I would say yes, but it's not the only movie to bomb this summer. It's not the only movie to disappoint this summer. Aside from Avengers Endgame and apparently Toy Story 4, what other movie has been like a box office, like bona fide success this summer? Because Godzilla disappointed. Men in Black bombed. This was supposed to be a great summer for movies. I'm sure I'm forgetting another big one that came out.
No, you said on a previous episode, I think.
Dark Phoenix bombed too. That's the one I think.
That has nothing to do with anything except themselves. But I feel like you nailed it a couple episodes ago when you said that it's the Endgame effect, that everybody was just like emotionally exhausted and they just needed a break from the theaters. Because, I mean, Toy Story, yeah, it had its biggest opening in the franchise, like at 150 million. I thought that movie was a shoo-in for 200 on opening weekend. So I was like, even Pixar isn't making Marvel money, which is insane. But yeah, I think you're right. People are just, they're just tired. And I think that Spider-Man is going to make a ton of money, but I don't think it's going to make like you would expect an MCU.
Yeah. I mean, you would think Spider-Man, you've got Lion King coming. You got the Fast and Furious. We've talked about it before. Hobbs and Shaw is coming. But I mean, it doesn't feel like you have to go to the movies this summer. Like, you're going after the Avengers. Like, are you going to miss something? Really?
I haven't seen Toy Story yet. And that's my favorite Pixar franchise. So, but I am seeing Spider-Man, cause we got to review it. So that'll be my,
I haven't seen Toy Story, but I've seen that damn spoon. I'm trash.
It's got Keanu in it, and we all know right now that apparently Keanu is like a superstar. I don't know how this happened, but I'm here for it.
I mean, that's the only reason that Toy Story 4 made any money, then, because Keanu Reeves is in it. This is where you would insert that Keanu Reeves gif that's all over the internet, where he's kind of just walking, his hair just kind of flowing.
Like I said, Bill and Ted 3 is rolling right now, man. And I was like, dude,
it's only because it's
really well now because of his career resurgence.
It is only because of him.
That's so awesome. Well, yeah, Alex Winter hasn't acted in a movie. That's Bill. He hasn't acted in a movie in like 15, 20 years. So, yeah, of course it's only happened because of Keanu. But, hey, as long as I keep making John Wick movies, man, I'm about it. But you mentioned Lion King a minute ago, so I want to touch on some of these Disney remakes here. Apparently Little Mermaid's talking about what's her name? Sookie from Gilmore Girls. What's her name? The actress.
Oh, God.
Melissa McCarthy, she's fairly up for Ursula, which I think is a great pick. But I heard, you don't think so? Oh man, I think it's gonna be great. All these Disney live action movies they're making, and it seems like I didn't see Aladdin. Our friend Kyle went and saw it. He said he actually really enjoyed it. But you know, my opinion and Kyle's opinion have been on opposite ends recently, but that's okay. It's okay. I'm not saying he's wrong. I didn't have any interest in it. I heard they completely trashed Dumbo. I think both of us were kind of lukewarm on Beauty and the Beast. Besides Jungle Book, that's the only one of these remakes I've really, really liked. I think I'm going to like Lion King, but I'm just going to tell you, man, my wife is pissed because she loves Mulan, and the news came out that Mulan is first, it's going to have none of the musical numbers in it. It's going to be orchestral music. Okay, they want to make an epic war, feudal Japan war movie. Okay, whatever. But no Mushu in it? Apparently the dragon, Mushu, is going to be a phoenix bird and not have any lines. Why even make this movie? It doesn't even sound like you're making Mulan. Sounds like you're just making Memoirs of the Geisha.
So I will get to Mulan in a second. Since you mentioned Lion King, they released
posters. Dude, those bills that they released today are awesome looking.
Awesome. Just gorgeous, beautiful shots of the entire cast.
With their, like real lions. They really do. I'm excited.
Oh, my God. Yeah, it's fantastic. And again, it's not a surprise because this is Jon Favreau. Jon Favreau, of course, did The Jungle Book. He puts so much of himself into these movies. I'm really not surprised that Lion King looks as great as it is, that I'm sure it's one of Jon Favreau's favorite movies, and he's very clearly respecting what the original was. And I don't care if it is a shot-for-shot remake. I genuinely don't. It's going to be fantastic.
Let me tell you how much I love The Lion King. Not only is it my favorite animated film ever, if I'm making a list of my top 50 movies ever, it's probably the only animated one that makes that list. That's how much I love that movie. So obviously I've got like some where I want to protect it, you know, but I also am just way more excited than even my 7-year-old is. So yeah, we'll be seeing this one in the theater because I think this is one you're going to need to see in the theater because it's going to look beautiful. It looks at least as good as Jungle Book, man. We're in for a treat. Plus you throw in that Hans Zimmer music. Whew, bring the tissues, baby.
I will say, as far as Mulan goes, I don't mind losing the music. I don't mind losing the talking little dragon. If they are going in the route that this is more of a war movie, that this is more of a, you know, a little bit mystical with the idea of a phoenix, but if they really just want to like dig down, make a gritty Mulan war feudal Asia kind of movie, I'm okay with it because everyone complained that The Lion King might be too faithful. Now they want to change up Mulan just a little bit. If they're going to keep making all these live action movies, which they are, yeah, make them a little different. Make Mulan this. Make Brave, freaking Braveheart redone with a female lead for all I care. Like, just make sure that these movies are different and that we're not just like remaking a live action kind of Disney movie. Because we saw what happened with Beauty and the Beast. Like, they tried to do that faithfully and it just kind of blew up in their face because the beast looks
bad. Not get people that could actually sing was like the big
one. Also true. I mean, but that's the other thing. If you want people that can actually sing, you're very limited in your choices of who's going to be on screen for you. So, I mean, they went with singing for Aladdin and they got a bunch of nobodies and box office kind of was like, eh. So it's a fine act. It's a fine balance. And I'm okay with them if they go all in with this Mulan war movie.
If that happens, sure, I'm on board. If it's still just, hey, it's a good old fun Disney movie, and you take away those fun things, I don't really get the point. Because I thought it would be like having James Earl Jones be the only one who returns to voice Mufasa. I thought for sure they'd have Eddie Murphy come back and voice Mushu. So, wow. I'm not crazy about Mulan. I enjoyed it, but I was never one of those, like, I'm definitely not overprotective of it. So, I don't like, I'm just telling you, my wife was not happy with this news. So,
and I mean, they, like I said, they are going to keep doing it because Pinocchio is already in the works. The Hunchback of Notre Dame is in the works. Lilo and Stitch is in the works. Little Mermaid, as you said, Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs.
Pinocchio could get dark, and I hope it does because that movie. So I hope that one gets dark. I think Tom Hanks is supposed to be Geppetto, ain't he? So it's already got that. You
know, it's already good.
Yeah. We'll see. I mean, I'm mostly in support of these if they're really going to put their heart into it. Like I said, I felt like they got completely lazy with Beauty and the Beast CGI. Even so, it was like, what, like a $300 million budget or something like that. So, I mean, it's not like they didn't try. I just, when Jungle Book set the bar that high, I feel like everything else is not kind of compared to it yet. So fingers crossed for the Lion King. Speaking of Tom Hanks, he's got another one. We both talked before that we love biopics. I know that you're a little younger than me, so you're probably, you know, you hate all the music that came before like the year 2000. But they are making a biopic for Elvis Presley. So my mom is a huge Elvis fan. So I grew up knowing a little more about Elvis than most people my age did. And so I was like, hey, that would be a really great biopic if they do it kind of like, you know, Walk the Line did with Johnny Cash and I didn't see Rocket Man yet, but I've heard it's really good. So obviously biopics are in. So I'm excited about this. They did release the finalists to play the King of Rock and Roll. Harry Styles. Is that the dude from One Direction?
It is the dude from One Direction. Oh, fantastic.
I wrote these names down. I didn't even notice it until just now. Austin Butler. I don't know who that is. Ansel Elgort. That's Baby Driver, right?
Baby.
Aaron Taylor Johnson. That's Kick-Ass or Quicksilver if you're willing to go there. And oh my God, why does it Miles Teller must have the best agent in Hollywood. How does his name always get on these lists? Off of look, I'm going Harry Styles just from the look. I've never seen Austin Butler. I've never seen that name before now. So if I've seen him anything, I don't know. Aaron Taylor Johnson, I like him. I don't see him as the king. I'm going with Harry Styles or Baby Driver. I don't know, man. I don't know.
I mean, sing or not. If you're looking for a singer, Ansel Elgort and Harry Styles would be your two best singers. The only thing with Harry Styles is he has a little bit of an accent, but you can always work around that. Miles Teller does not look at all like Elvis. Miles Teller should not be in consideration for this.
I don't get it.
The other part of Elvis is you got to have someone that embodies the cool, that kind of swagger that Elvis had. And I mean, for my money, Ansel Elgort has that. I mean, we saw that in Baby Driver.
I think you're biased, but I knew you were going to pick this as soon as I saw that name.
But he's effortlessly cool. Like, that's the thing about him, is that in that movie, when he was driving, he had this, like, he didn't even try to be cool, but he was cool because he wasn't cool. And he can sing. So when you combine those two things, to me, that's who should get the role.
In my opinion, the best on-screen Elvis we've had yet, obviously, is Kurt Russell. But, you know, he's like 100 years old now, so we can't be doing that. So watch Kurt Russell play Elvis, whoever gets this role. That's the kind of swagger we need, because this dude was cooler than cool.
But I say this, and I have to walk it back now, because the director is Baz Luhrmann. Baz, his style, I mean, if you've seen The Great Gatsby or any of his other movies.
Oh, I didn't see The Great Gatsby, no.
Great Gatsby, Moulin Rouge.
Oh, I love Moulin
Rouge. Even the 1996 Romeo and Juliet. Like, he is over the top. He is flashy. He is just extravagant. And even if this is a biopic of Elvis in the 50s, blah, 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 if there is even a little Baz in this movie, then I'd say Harry Styles might have the leg up, because if you want extravagant and over the top, you can't get better than a guy who is the lead of one of the biggest boy bands of all time.
He looks like 1955 Elvis Presley with the picture I saw with the hair cone. I was like, okay, now he looks like, I don't know how well he can act. I think I've only seen him in that.
The acting would be the problem, but
yeah, I've only seen him in the Nolan movie, the war movie. I can't think of the name right now. That's the only thing I've ever seen him in. And I don't think he really had very many lines in that. So
yeah.
I don't know, but I mean, this is a biopic. I feel like this and the Beatles are way past due. So now the biopics are getting hot again and people are saying, hey, if you actually did well,
The Beatles, that legally, the Beatles would have to be, that would be a feat to pull off, I think.
No, I think that something with the Beatles would have to be, their story is just too damn long. I mean, I would imagine they would go from like formation to John Lennon's death. And that would probably be, I mean, we're talking a 6-hour movie. So yeah, that had to be a mini series or something that HBO or somebody does. I don't see them doing a 2-hour movie.
On HBO.
Okay. All right. You're so mad at HBO. We're going to get that a little later. Okay, Netflix. You got us, Netflix. Or Disney Plus.
Plus, that's where everything is now.
See, that conversation went better than I thought. I thought he was going to be like, oh, Elvis, whatever, overrated. Masters of the Universe. I guess you were probably too old for He-Man, right?
No, I know of him, yes. Yeah.
I mean, I watched it when I was a kid, and I looked back on, I remember it was one of those things where when they first started putting everything on TV shows on DVD, and I watched like an episode and a half, like, this is atrocious. I can't believe I used to watch this every day. So yeah, I understand a lot of stuff is nostalgia, but it wasn't good. I mean, you go back and watch it, it really wasn't good. You were just a kid, you know. You had like my kid watching the Emoji Movie the other day. I know it's terrible, but you know what? He's having a great time with it, and that's what it's made for. But apparently, Sony, being Sony, apparently they shut down production on this movie due to, quote, budget and script concerns, because Eternia, that's the kingdom that the show takes place in, was a little more expensive to make than they originally budgeted for. Sony. Stick to making Spider-Verse movies, because I don't know, man. I don't know what's up with you. Jumanji looks cool, though, because it's got Amy Pond in it, so.
Yeah, no, I mean, Jumanji looks great. I didn't know how they would get a sequel out of that, but that's pretty clever.
Any comments about them shutting down production after they've already started?
I mean, it kind of sounds like what happened with WB and Swamp Thing. Like,
yeah, but that's a TV show. That's a TV show. This is
like, how do you get to a movie and like you shut it production down because of budget and script. Like you've already spent money on it. Like
I'm saying, how do you let it get this far after the cameras are rolling? How do you get this far? I mean, it's like even that Death of Superman movie that they were going to make that Tim Burton was going to make. And you looked at that documentary that dude made and they at least called it off before cameras started rolling. This is ridiculous, man. I don't know. God, Sony's such a disaster.
A little bit.
Buy them, Disney. Just put them out of their misery. Jesus.
I mean, it's only a matter of time, really.
Okay. The part where Danny's going to get quiet for a little bit because it's a Tale of the King time. I got two Stephen King stuff here. First, there was a trailer for Dr. Sleep. Now, I have a twist for you here, Danny. This book right here, Dr. Sleep, never read it. Because I don't know if you know this. It is the sequel to The Shining, which even I know you haven't seen or read it, you obviously know about The Shining.
Yeah, Jack Nicholson.
40 years later, King decides to write a sequel. Dude never writes sequels to his books. I was like, I feel like that's just tainting the legacy. I mean, besides Dark Tower, that was supposed to be a series. I was scared to read it because all you're doing is tainting your legacy at this point if it isn't like an amazing book. And I didn't hear great things from the King fans about it. So I was just like, I get it. I always get it. But, you know. I'm going to have to read it now because I'm going to read it before the movie comes out. So I saw the trailer. It looks cool. I'm saying that I think that this, a lot of people I know that have only watched the Shining movie are going to be upset with it because it is an adaptation of the book and the book is quite different than the movie. So it's people that are going there thinking they're getting a sequel to Stanley Kubrick's The Shining are probably going to be disappointed. However, I do think that they're going to find a way to kind of mix in King's book and that Kubrick movie into something that's going to please both audiences. But I want to get like a little fable or a myth out of the way here about how, oh, Stephen King's a big baby and he didn't like Stanley Kubrick's The Shining. Here's the truth of the matter. Stephen King didn't like the way he was treated by Stanley Kubrick on the movie set. So that's why he had bad things. It was his second movie of his books that were ever made. He was still very new at this. He was on the movie set, and Stanley Kubrick, if you know anything about the guy, he wasn't exactly nice to be around. Ask the people who ever acted for him. They hated him. So this myth that, oh, Stephen King's a big baby and he didn't like this movie, that's just the biggest load of bullshit I've ever heard in my life. But Mike Flanagan, the guy who's directing Dr. Sleep, huge King fan. He did Joel's Game. He's the one who did the Haunting of Hill House. He's going to do this very faithfully. I've said before, I think that he's the best guy working in horror right now. So obviously, I'm very excited for it. It's got Obi-Wan Kenobi in it. Sign me up. I'm definitely there. I sent you the trailer, but I doubt you watched it. I don't think it would make a lick of sense to you.
I did not get a chance to see it, no.
And basically, the kid from The Shining, this is his story when he's grown up as an adult, and that's the character that Ewan McGregor is playing.
Oh, Ewan McGregor. Well, if he's busy, that means he can't make that Obi-Wan Kenobi sequel prequel stuff. So I'm for it. Yeah.
The movie looks cool. I like that they did put like some – I thought it was footage from the original Shining movie, but the director on Twitter was saying, we took nothing from that movie. Everything is completely reshot. It's all new. So that's really cool because even at the end of the trailer, it puts like the music from the movie. And I got a little bit of the hair sticking up in the arm. It was pretty cool. So it's already better than that horrible dog shit Pet Cemetery remake they made. So hey, the year of King's going to keep going because we got It Chapter 2 and then this like a month after that. So hey, I'm cool with that. And this transitions into TV here because the other King news is that they've started casting for The Stand, maybe a lot of Stephen King fans' favorite book ever by Stephen King. So this is one that I feel like it was time for them to remake because they tried to make it in TV in the 90s and it looks like a 90s movie. It was a really, really low budget, pretty faithful, but a very low budget. I'm glad they're going the miniseries route with it on CBS All Access. That's the ones that do Star Trek Discovery and the new Twilight Zone because it's a very, very long story. There are a lot of characters, but they started casting for it. And I want to talk about some of these castings. I'm going to talk about characters because now you haven't read this, but I know these are actors you like. I sent you the link and now I don't have it.
I do.
Okay, so what's the guy's name from Westworld?
James Marsden, aka Cyclops.
Yeah.
Once upon a time.
Jean Grey's boyfriend. Yes, that was his role. Not exactly the stew I picture, but it's still a good casting. I'm really, really, and you know, I had no idea that the Amber Heard like hate was so strong until I said that was my favorite casting they've done so far for that character. Cause I mean, people jumped all over me. Oh, she can't act, blah, 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 blah. I'm like, huh. I don't know. I mean, I guess are these people that only saw Aquaman? I'm not sure. I haven't seen her and I don't think anything else, but I had no idea that like there were so many people who didn't like her. Whatever. I think she's perfect for the character they did. A couple of the other actors, I don't really know that well. There's some younger ones, but I'm very happy with what they're doing so far. It looks like they're actually trying, you know, because a lot of this King stuff is like, well, we just got the name. Now we just kind of slap something out there. But the guy making this is like a huge fan as well. Apparently he tells a story. Josh Boone. He did the Fault in Our Stars. He had this story about when he was a kid, his parents found a copy that he had of a Stephen King book and told him he wasn't going to be reading any of that satanic stuff. And they threw it away. So he wrote Stephen King and told him what had happened. And Stephen King FedExed him every single one of his books signed. And then his parents were like, okay, well, this guy seems like he must be a good guy anyway. So I just thought that was a really cool story that, you know, that's why I don't feel like he's going to just shit all over this story that a lot of people hold very, very precious. No, I'm not getting another streaming service, but, I might borrow the same friend's password who lets me borrow her Star Trek Discovery to watch this because they're putting a lot of effort into it, it sounds like. And again, it's such an amazing story. And it's not a horror story, but it's, like I said, many people think it's his best work ever. And it was like his third book he ever wrote. I mean, look at this bastard. Look at this. That print in there is tiny too. So it's a very, very long book. It's even longer than it. So very, very exciting times for a King fan, even after that horrible Pet Sematary movie. I cannot say it enough. Okay. And that's the end of another Hail to the King segment. But now I got more stuff that that Danny doesn't know that we're going to talk about.
I want to interject something real
sure,
quick.
Though, sure, because, go ahead.
Because this, we have to mention James Bond in some way on this podcast.
Okay. I saw the first picture and he looks old.
I'm not talking about the Bond 25 picture. I'm talking about Daniel Craig's trailer that got released today for the movie Knives Out. Did you happen to see it?
No. After Rian Johnson spent a year telling me I was an asshole, I have no interest in supporting anything he does. Yeah.
I
thought the movie sucked. It was that he went on Twitter and acted like a little pretentious asshole. Everybody's whining like, no, I'm not supporting you. Fuck you. I love Looper, but no.
I only bring this up because Daniel Craig gets our requisite Bond mention in. Yes, that's a check. Chris Evans is in this movie as well, Captain America. Michael Shannon, our favorite General Zod, is also in this movie.
The cast is really great.
Jamie Lee Curtis is in there. Lakeith Stanfield, who was in that movie last year. Sorry to bother you. Frank Oz, of course, legend. So great cast all around.
Wait, Frank Oz? Like, not the puppet?
Say that again? Yeah, no, it's supposed to be him, like the real Frank Oz. I didn't know what this was until I saw the trailer. I like a whodunit movie. I mean, we've talked a lot about Clue. Our friend Lisa did a podcast with her friend that talked about why they loved the movie Clue. I'm for it, even if it's not going to be Clue. I love a good whodunit. I don't need Daniel Craig doing Southern accents, though. Like, that's the one thing that just doesn't work for me. Again, he's trying a Southern accent. It's like, Daniel, Just talk in your normal voice because this just doesn't work for me.
No, I did not see movie too, man. I mean, I know a lot of people when we got into talking about best Tarantino movies, and a mm-hmm. lot of people were like, "I can't believe you have Hateful Eight so high." That movie was trash. I'm like, I'm a sucker for a whodunit, and I thought that was really an old West whodunit. Hell yes, I was all about it. So whatever, Tarantino's awesome. Eat shit.
Which is what Chris Evans says in this trailer about like. 30 times.
I saw the gif of him telling everybody to eat shit, and I didn't know if it was actually real or if someone made
it. No, it is real. It is as far away from Captain America as you can get as Chris Evans spending about 15 seconds telling people, you can eat shit, you can eat shit, you definitely can eat shit. Hmm. Pretty funny, although I understand why you wouldn't support a Rian Johnson film at this point in time.
I mean, if it's good, I'm sure I'll end up watching it, but...
Pirating it?
No, not that much. Not that much. That's a little too much effort. Hey, and by the way, Daisy Ridley came out today and she said that she thought that some of the Star Wars Last Jedi backlash was fair. So, hey, it's finally nice that someone attached to that movie didn't tell everybody who didn't like it that they were an asshole or a troll. So, there. Hey, Rose.
We still love Daisy Ridley, both of us.
Sure. Yeah. Call me. Rosamund Pike. I don't know if you ever saw Gone Girl.
I did. I love that movie. She's fantastic. She is so good in that. She scares the shit out of me in that movie. Yeah.
She was like one step below Glenn Close, Fatal Attraction, psychopath, sociopath. And then, yeah, I was stunned and she didn't win the Oscar that year, honestly. So
should have. Gosh, she should have won that. She played the hell out of that role.
I have talked before about Amazon's Wheel of Time that they are doing and that they were going to start announcing some casting soon. They had to. And that I thought the first big casting that they announced was they were going to have to do what Game of Thrones did and come out and get someone big to kind of legitimize the series. Well, she's been cast as the lead, even if it isn't the lead character in the books. I can see the route that they're going with it on TV, and it makes sense. And for you to say if you said, yeah, it's just something I'm not really interested in. Imagine we were doing this podcast about a decade ago, and I told you, hey, I'm really excited because they just cast this dude from Lord of the Rings, Sean Bean, you know him as 006, in this TV series called Game of Thrones. It's about these books I really like. Same deal here. Rosamund Pike cast in Wheel of Time. Is this going to be Game of Thrones? Probably not. I mean, all odds are against it at this point. But I think that that's a really, really big get for them. And it shows that I'm hoping that it shows that one, Bezos is opening up the checkbook for this show and he realizes what he has on his hands here. And two, these scripts are just baller. That's what I'm hoping for. So I hope that they're really, really going for it here. And I want to say that they wouldn't get someone of her level to do something like this if it wasn't at least decent. But I don't know. There's a lot of good actors and actresses doing TV and streaming series now. So we'll see. We'll see. I think it's a great pick. It wasn't exactly who I would have picked for her, for this character that they cast her as. But I could see it working. And I think that she's a good enough actress for sure. And I mean, hey, she was the best Bond babe in a movie that had, what's her name? Halle Berry in it.
Was she in that one?
Die Another Day. Yeah. She was the chick with the sword. Oh,
God.
She was like 18, but yeah, she was in it.
I have forgotten Die Another Day.
I can understand why you forgot about Die Another Day. The second worst Bond movie ever. Yeah.
I thought you were going to say that she was in like Spectre, that she was the girl in Spectre. And I would be like, oh yeah, no, I believe that. But no. Yeah, no, God, no.
I remember Keiko's beard on Twitter was the one who reminded me of that. And I was like,
oh yeah, that was her first movie. Her like fourth gig ever.
So I would say she's beautiful and she can call me, but she's a good actress because I saw Gone Girl and I saw what she did to Doogie. I'm not cool with that. No. So anyway, that's a big get for them. But as far as Game of Thrones goes, that prequel series is underway. And I've got to ask you, Danny, is the thrill gone? Did it kill it enough for you that you're not even giving a shit about what the working title right now is? Blood Moon. I don't think that's what they're going to end up calling it. But I'm just going to say up front, I got a lot of pushback because on Twitter I said that I put that meme of Drake, you know, where he's like, no, yeah. He's like, yeah. And I put, you know, the Game of Thrones prequel series, no, and Amazon's Wheel of Time, yeah. And bunch of people jumped on me and being like, hey, Game of Thrones is still one of the greatest shows of all time just because you didn't like, just because last season didn't go the way you wanted, bro. You know, that guy, you didn't go the way that you wanted. And that's why you didn't like it. And I didn't like it because it was fucking piss poor writing. I think that's clear. It's the Last Jedi of TV shows, right? But anyway, it's not that I am like not really excited about this because of the way that Game of Thrones ended. I'm not excited because there's a ton of great fantasy series out there that I'd like to see adapted. I understand why they're doing this. I'm just not excited for it because I don't care. I would rather see them HBO pour that kind of time and money and effort and actors into something else. There are other great fantasy series out there, but they want to use that Game of Thrones name. I can't blame them because who isn't going to at least watch the pilot, right?
I was prepared to rant and I did calm myself down because I did say, but would you check out the pilot?
I would spiel first so I could let you get your blood pressure under control.
I mean, I probably would check out the pilot, but is there like interest in me right now to watch this? No, because the last season of Game of Thrones sucks. And it's not because it didn't go the way that we wanted it to go. It's because it is awful. It's because the writing doesn't make sense. It's because all of these like plot threads that they thought were like they built up over the years. Just like,
more. Yeah. I thought I would calm down a little bit, but as it's went by, to the point where like, I don't even think about it anymore.
It's because the directors went in interviews and essentially said, yeah, we were just done with it. We didn't want anybody else to work on it. So
they're going to be at Comic-Con. How brave is that shit?
That is walking into the dragon's pit right there. because good luck dealing with angry nerds that are upset that you ruined their, and I say nerds in the most loving thing because we are both nerds. Sure. But yeah, no, like I'm not over it. Like I'm not over it. I kind of wish they would like let it be. I still think season 7 needs to be remade before they even try to win back fan support for any of these other stuff. But yeah, there's so many other properties out there.
Stop being a toxic fan. When I, people said they wanted to remake Last Jedi, man, y'all all thought through that toxic fan thing at them.
Last Jedi is a good movie, though. I don't know which one. It has some beautiful shots. It's there's some missteps, but like that's
everything. I would disagree.
I will just say this about Game of Thrones and HBO. Maybe like get your other properties in check first before you start spinning out spinoffs like Westworld. Westworld was at the peak of TV and then it fell off the rails and now you're trying to kind of reboot it. Like it can be great. The idea of like robots and humans, like that's fantastic. Get that under control. Get all these other series under controls and maybe try something new besides like, oh, Game of Thrones redone. I don't need it right now because it still leaves. It's a bad taste in my mouth. How can you do that? How? Not doing it, Mike. Not getting there. Not going there.
Make First Law. There's so many great fantasy series you guys can make that Amazon hasn't bought. You know, I know they bought Lord of the Rings and Wheel of Time. So that's your big daddies right there. So there's so much other stuff they could make.
TV series.
Well, I mean, of course they want to use the Game of Thrones name. I can't blame them. Hunger
Games TV series.
Hunger Games TV series?
Yeah, that'd be fucking fantastic.
I don't know. I'm reading these books that Armin turned me on to, Red Rising. It isn't quite – I mean, the first book was kind of Hunger Games-y, and then it just got, like, really awesome in book two. So I'd rather see them adapt something like that. Yeah, but
do that.
But yeah.
Do the diversity, sure. Except do it right. Do something besides – Game of Thrones right now.
Yeah, there's so many good sci-fi and fantasy books out there. Fuck, man. I don't know.
Fucking remake the Goosebumps books. I don't give a shit.
So to answer the question, yes, the thrill is gone. Neil Gaiman's Sandman. This is a property they've been trying to get made for forever. I think Gordon Joseph Levitt was attached to that forever. Well, now it's finally happening after the success of Good Omens on Amazon. That's a Neil Gaiman property. Apparently, they went ahead and they Netflix said, "Give me this," and they snatched up Sandman. Apparently, it's already underway. There's a huge budget attached to it. I think they said it's going to be 11 episodes. That's awesome. Yes, give me that. Sure. I mean, I'm not the hugest Gaiman. I'm not a not Gaiman fan. I just haven't read very much Neil Gaiman. But yeah, what I know of Sandman, I like quite a bit. So I just can't believe this is finally happening. Feels like they've been talking about it forever.
I'm not surprised because it's monkey see, monkey do. If there's one success, people are going to come like vultures and start to rip it up. I mean, look at Stephen King. Finally, someone made a good adaptation of one of his properties. And here comes everybody just scooping up all the rights. Mm-hmm. This is no different. I'm for it. Like we just said, there are so many other properties out there to make. And Neil Gaiman's Sandman is like one of the, I don't want to say universally loved, but it's well loved and it's well received. And a lot of people, when they talk about their favorite books or favorite graphic novels or whatever, like whatever form of literature, like this one always comes up. So good for Netflix to scoop up and get it, because I don't know how they'll get the money, but Netflix will get the money and they will make a good series out of this.
Continuing these fantasy series, I mean, you just talked about how they bought those Stephen King properties. Everybody, after Game of Thrones, they started snatching up them fantasy properties left and right. Are you listening, HBO? The big one, and this is the one that, in my personal opinion, you asked me which one do I think is going to succeed, it's going to be this one. And that's because The Witcher has a built-in fan base already from the people who love the books. I've only read one of them, but I liked it a lot. And the people who play the games, it brought on a whole new legion of fans. I feel like that, combined with it being on Netflix, which is, at the moment, still the most popular streaming service. I mean, anything they put out, people at least give that first episode a try, it seems like. So I feel like this one has the best chance to succeed. You got a big name attached to it in Henry Cavill. Is it Cavill or Cavill? Everybody corrects me. No matter which one I say, they say the other one. But I say Cavill. Anyway, they released that first like makeup test thing, which they never should have done because people have been clowning on that thing for almost a year. Well, they released the first official pictures. And my, oh my, did the attitudes change, mine included. I went from saying that this show was going to be a train wreck to just saying that I hope it's good. that's kind of where I am at right now. But just some pictures at Comic-Con. They're going to have the first teaser trailer for it. So I'm hoping that kicks ass. But hey, man, he's also going to be doing Sherlock Holmes. So Henry Cavill's probably done with Superman, right?
Probably. Probably not going to be in the running for Bond anytime soon either. But, I mean, you mentioned it. The fan base is there from the books. The fact that they've been making the Witcher game since 2007. The fact that The Witcher 3 has sold 20 million copies as of right now. You
need to get it.
And it's still going to release on Nintendo Switch at some point this year. So, I mean, that's going to bring in more copies.
Get you the Switcher edition.
The Switcher. I like this. That's good. So, yeah, I mean, there's an audience built in. People, as we said, are craving, quote unquote, the next Game of Thrones, the next kind of sci-fi fantasy. And you have a known name like Henry Cavill, whatever.
I don't know.
Coming off of the Superman thing, who's coming off a wonderful performance in Mission Impossible Fallout, because we're just going to keep bringing up that movie today because it is a wonderful movie that everyone should go see. If you haven't seen it, if you have seen it, go watch it again because it's that damn good. Because the arm thing that he does in the movie.
I don't know what it was. I saw something recently where someone said that they got that from Henry Cavill, the pump in the arms to block him.
Awesome. Cock the arms and like, let's go. I just took a look at the photos. It doesn't look cheap at all.
It's awesome.
Looks like Netflix knows what they're doing. And this has got my curiosity for San Diego Comic-Con.
Well, me and Alan were talking about this. He just started getting into the game a lot. And he said he's, you know, just off those pictures alone, he says, look, I'm excited to try it. I'm just, you know, wondering how to, I'm like, look, it's going to get the viewers up front because, like I said, Netflix, everything original they put out, people will try it because, you know, it's there. To me, it's just like, okay, you can't slag, though. You've really got it. And if they're adapting the book that I read, no problem. They're going to be able to tell some really good stories there. My excitement went from middling to
above.
So after this teaser, though, I might be, you know, like making a tent in my pants. So I'm hoping because, like I said, that first book was phenomenal. So I don't know. But I think if that's the one's going to win. I've got one fantasy series left, and there's another one for Netflix, and that is C.S. Lewis' Famous Chronicles of Narnia. What caught my eye is they named a showrunner, which is going to be a creative architect is how they put it, because this is a series of 7 books, and it takes place through a very, very long timeline. But Matthew Aldrich, that's the guy who did Coco. I think he wrote Coco. And I know that's how I get your attention here. He wrote Coco. So he's going to be the creative architect for this series on Netflix. Now, the Disney movie that they made for the Lion, the Witch, and the Wardrobe, very, very good. They waited too long to make the sequels and the kids started to age out. So if this is going to be something that they do where they just, bam, they just push this out and like, 6-7 years. I think this has a chance to be really great. And again, it has Netflix's money behind it. It has the C.S. Lewis estates behind it. They've got all the properties. So there's none of that problems that Disney had getting all these rights issued out. So I think right now, how do I feel these are going to be a success level? 1 is Witcher, 2 probably Narnia, 3 Wheel of Time. Because I Wheel of Time, I think that they're already, some of the stuff that they're saying about it already, I'm just like, so did you read it? You know, that's what I'm kind of saying with it. Whereas it seems like these other people seem to be big, big fans. So we'll see.
I think the nice thing, and again, we compare it back to Game of Thrones, is that this 7 book series is done. It is written. There is an order. And
Witcher's done. Narnia's done. Wheel of Time's done. Sorry, George.
You can tell the full story. And I think that because of that, if you're adapting it, you can see, cool, this is what I want to tell. This is what I don't really care about. And you can really get a clear sense of direction on the story as opposed to Game of Thrones, which definitely does feel like 2 stories stitched together.
So what are you doing for 4th of July, Danny? You don't see fireworks or anything like that?
No, no fireworks.
You guys don't go outside in July in Minnesota, do you? You might like catch a cold. You know, I am like, I already can't look forward to ignoring my kids on that day until fireworks time. So me and my wife can watch Stranger Things 3. And I know you don't watch Stranger Things because you're weird. And I don't get why you didn't like it.
I tried. This is what I tried and just didn't stick.
I'm obviously very, very excited for it. I feel like I have three hobbies: reading, TV, and video games, right? Which, not like these are anything weird. I feel like I only have time to do two of those three. So right now I'm like, okay, I played that one game, but I'm reading a lot because I really got into making those videos for this channel and stuff like that. But I haven't really been watching a lot of TV. I am going to watch this like you can't believe. But my question to you is, do you think this is going to be the last season? Because these kids are already, they're like aging. You thought the Harry Potter kids aged fast? It don't look like it's been, you know, 2 years since the show started. So if this isn't going to be the last season, I believe that they're going to do the whole anthology thing, and Stranger Things 4 will be a new group of kids, maybe in the 90s. Maybe that'll be something more that tickles your fancy if it takes place in the 90s, maybe.
That's all
speculation on my part. I don't know.
Yeah. And nevertheless, Sean, I know that this wasn't supposed to be the last season with the original cast. So again, I doubt Netflix wants to let the brand die. So I'm sure they'll find some way to try to spin it, but.
Well, there is going to be Hellboy sequel. So David Harbour's available still. So,
I mean, this just isn't something that has stuck, and this isn't something that, you know, I really wish I knew what this was and like why people liked it, because it is sweeping people up, and I'm sure July 4th, it'll be pretty big for them.
It's only had one bad episode so far, and it was an episode where they tried to do like an episode of Heroes, and yeah, it was just as bad as Heroes. And we're talking about like season 3 and 4 Heroes. Yeah. Remember that? No, nobody does.
No.
So, I think it's probably going to be the last season with this cast. And, you know, hey, that's cool. That's cool. I've had a good time with it. I'm hoping they don't break my heart with any character deaths. But, you know, in a post-Game of Thrones world, you expect it now. And so, probably something like that. But, you know, seeing kids die sucks. we haven't talked about Spider-Man yet. It's because neither one of us has seen it. We are planning to do our review special on
today, guys.
Yeah, it did. It just came out today. I know a lot of people already are just blabbing their mouth on my timeline, so I just went ahead and had to mute it because, you know, people are like, hey, spoilers, and then they just blurted it out. So I was like, it's not quite how it works. But it doesn't seem that people are being as kind with the spoilers as they somehow were for Endgame. It seemed like people were very respectful about that.
That's because Sony has released pretty much the entire movie through fucking trailers, because Sony is trash when it comes to trailers.
You know how I feel about Sony.
I have heard that if you have watched all of the TV spots in the trailers, the three main trailers, that some of those scenes are from the post credits release, which is the most stupidest, mind blowingest thing I've ever heard.
I think the second trailer is the last I watched, and the only TV spot I guess I saw was a Facebook ad where Aunt May throws a banana at him. And she says, you can dash banana, but you can't, or you can dash whatever, but you can bullets, but not banana.
I saw that one earlier. Yeah, that's funny.
I thought it was pretty awful, but all right.
Look, Marissa Tomei is an angel, and I will not stand for slander about Marissa Tomei.
Hashtag not my Aunt May. But we know that this is more your Spider-Man than my Spider-Man, so I feel like it'll be easier to please you with this than it will me. However, I am willing to bet that our review will have the words charming, fun, and kind of a weak villain in it. What do you think? Let's play some MCU bingo here.
Fun, charming. There wasn't enough Jake Gyllenhaal. We'll probably love one of the side characters a lot because there's always.
Nick Fury going to be like in the second straight solo movie where he's the best part of it?
Yeah. There'll be some Tony Stark talk because Iron Man looms over this.
Will Tom Holland make you cry?
Probably. He's done a good job with that. That's
your superpower. Okay, so we're going to do that on Sunday. I believe my friend Juwan from Geeks Against Grain and runs the Geek Vibes Nation website is actually going to join us. And I think that's going to be fun because I'm 40, Danny's 30, and he's like 20. So I think we'll have a really good mix there of all the different generations. And it'll be, for once, Danny will feel like the old get off my lawn guy. It's going to be great. I can't wait. But, you know, you guys will probably team up on me because he's a big Ultimate Spider-Man, big Miles fan. So I'm sure you guys will probably be agreeing
I think the over-under is how often do I compare this movie to Spider-Man Into the Spider-Verse, the best Spider-Man movie ever made.
Second best. We'll see. It's Sam Raimi's number two. Still the best.
Spider-Man 2?
Yeah.
Not the Amazing Spider-Man 2?
That, what are you talking about? They never made an Amazing Spider-Man 2. All right. They had that horrible, horrible actor that you always bring up. I can't think of his name. It's Green Goblin. God, he was terrible.
Cole DeHaan.
Oh, my God. Oh, don't watch that movie he did last year with the guy that made Fifth Element. I can't even remember. Valerian. Oh, Jesus Christ. After that, we do have our San Diego Comic-Con preview show. I think it's going to be a little lighter than usual because I feel like E3, you're starting to see more and more studios start to sit these things out. No, and it's eventually,
It's not Cole. It's Dane DeHaan.
Oh, whatever. I already forgot about him. you get that feeling where it feels like everybody's starting to do their thing. Disney's going to start doing D23. Star Wars is just sticking Celebration. You got Warner Brothers, or not Warner Brothers, just DC sitting this one out. Warner Brothers is going to be there, I believe, but not DC, right?
Yeah.
They're just not doing Hall H. They're still going to have a thing, just not Hall H, like usual, not the big, huge thing.
I mean, it's kind of splintered and fragmented. I mean, if you don't have Disney, I mean, that's just a huge mess.
Yeah, I mean that's about three quarters of the industry now is Disney. So I feel like if San Diego Comic Con eventually gets back to being about comics and gets back to maybe focusing on TV and stuff, I think that would be really, really fun. You know, leave the TV shows for the movies for their own thing, I guess. I don't know if Warner's ever gonna get to the point where they have their own show. I doubt it. But that's just because, you know, they've been run by idiots. Maybe this new Liz, maybe she can really bring some innovation. By the way, if you looked at the first tweet about that she was the new CEO, you know what 99% of the responses were? Release the Snyder Cut. God, you guys need to let that shit go.
Ugh.
Well said.
I'm not even talking about that.
Stranger Things 3 is at 92% on Rotten Tomatoes right now. Yeah. Get your egos, baby. Let's do it. Let's do it. Don't be a mouth breather like Danny. Let's do it. That's from the show. I'm doing all these references. You're really like, God, that was kind of rude. Anyhow, I don't have any games or anything to talk about this week, do you? No. Just that one that I played. No? No news, really? After E3, you can figure it's going to be kind of slow. Just going to keep pushing Danny to get the Switcher edition of the Switch. It's really good. After I've had some time to sleep on it, we did have like a group text where I started this. I said, now that I think about it, I think Nintendo had the best show. And I know that's not going to be hard to convince you because I know you're like a big old Nintendo stan, big time. Because I think that E3, people have started to forget what the show is about. It's supposed to be about games. And all these are about, they got these celebrities on stage. They got these developers yapping. And no one's showing me any games. I don't care what your system can do. Can your system play games? Yeah. Sony sits out the show because they don't even have any games to show. Should be about the game. So I'm hoping the next gaming generation, I hope goes back to being about the games and not about how much social media and how much internet and how much streaming shit I can fit on my console, and then get back to games. That's what I want. And that's what Nintendo's doing.
That's what I've been saying for years.
Best games. I feel like Nintendo is still focused on games, and I feel like that's because Reggie was a baller, and I hope it stays in that way after Reggie. I hope they keep following Reggie. He'd be gone, but I hope like his methods stay in place because I really feel like he turned that company around.
I think you'll find that Bowser is very focused on games.
Still can't believe that.
You were born for this, Bowser. You were born for this.
All right, well, that's all we got for this week. We'll talk at you guys on Sunday, and hopefully we got lots of good flippity flip to talk about. We'll see. Okay, geeks, thanks for listening to the show. Now, if you didn't get enough geek material to help you through the week, you can always hop on the TARDIS here and check out the archives on the homepage, Facebook, YouTube, or iTunes. Also, take a moment, subscribe on iTunes, and leave a star rating if you get a second, as it helps others to find the show. To find us, just simply open iTunes and search for Geek Media Corp. Also, be sure to follow the guys on Twitter. The home account is at GMC Podcast. Mike is at Zep1978, and Danny is at DC_612. Thanks for listening, and we'll talk at you next week.